As is the case with our local football team's defense early this season before Sunday, there's times in life where we see our loved ones struggle, especially as they get older. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kenori & Murad, will guide you through the process of managing health care, financial power of attorney, securing guardianship as well for a family member. Schedule a free consultation with their elder law and estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you a G&D, and they will take care of you. kmlawyers.com. They're going to give you a discount if they know that we sent you their way. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Welcome on to Grant and Danny right now. ESPN's terrific NFL analyst, Louis Riddick. Louis, thanks so much for a few minutes in D.C. We're the Commanders of the talk of the town. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Pretty darn good. It's fun to have a 4-1 football team here locally. We're not really sure what to do with our hands, Louis, but what have you seen so far that you say, you know what, this isn't just something new. This is sustainable. This team is good.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously a lot of that optimism and the shift from hope to expectation centers around Jaden and his development, clearly. I think there's no question that what he is doing as far as his development, his mastery of the offense, I shouldn't say mastery, his continuing mastery of the offense, his leadership, his efficiency is something that's definitely sustainable because that's who he's always been as far as someone who was willing to put in the work on the field and off the field, ingratiate himself to teammates, immerse himself in the playbook, and then he's just freakishly skilled. So, yeah, that's definitely sustainable. As they continue to build out this roster and continue to make sure that protecting him is sustainable, having him have weapons is sustainable, continuing to build out the defensive side of the ball so they can give him more cracks at it is sustainable, and keeping the infrastructure around him in terms of the coaching staff and the support staff that allows him to go out and execute, you know, making sure that stays as stable as possible. That's also something that's, you know, by and large up to the people who are in charge in Washington. So it's all sustainable. It's all something that can be built upon from here. And I'm sure that everyone who's in a position to affect that understands just how much it's not luck. Like they didn't hit the jackpot, you know, out of luck. Everyone knew all along that Chicago was going to take Caleb. They did the absolute right thing in drafting Jaden, and now, you know, it's off to the races with him. So, yeah, I think the shift is on, or rather maybe it's already taken place, like I said, when you're moving from, well, I hope we're pretty decent, to now I expect us to be pretty damn good. I expect us to put up points. I expect this young man to play well. I think that's well underway now, and that is a pretty good feeling.
Louis Riddick on G&D. I mean, he's clearly the sun in this solar system. There's no doubt about that. But what about some of the other main characters in this story right now? I mean, you've been on the front office side at the, you know, highest levels and interviewing for GM jobs. Adam Peters getting his first crack. Seems yep. like he hit a home run in his first free agency class. Dan Quinn getting a second opportunity so far. So good for yep. him. I mean, it just seems like they're so ahead of schedule. Like their press conferences, we're using words like rebuild and patience and time. And right now yeah. they're one of the best teams in the league 5 games in.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it's part of the job when you're a head coach and you're a general manager is managing expectations both internally and externally. And I think that's because you want to be realistic, you know, as best you can based upon what you think the forecast of the future looks like. And it's always cool and always a lot of fun when maybe you shot a little low and then you wind up exceeding those expectations. And it's not because, like, again, it's not because it's luck, but because guys maybe developed faster, chemistry developed better, you know, within the coaching staff, chemistry developed better, most importantly on the football field. And, you know, then the conversation changes from, well, this is just a full-scale rebuild. Everyone temper your expectations. Everyone calm down. We may be lucky to be a 9-8, 8-9 type team, and then we'll hit it big on our second year. Everybody says that. Everybody tries to keep things, you know, on the down low, so to speak. But there's no doubt that look, Dan has learned a lot from his first stint as a head coach in Atlanta, and then how he took some time. Really, I mean, we talked to him about this when in some production meetings when he was at DC in Dallas, about all the work that he had put in during the time off that he had between leaving Atlanta, becoming the DC in Dallas, and how he really like took himself apart metaphorically and put himself back together, analyzed every part of his operation, both as a person and as a head coach, and he thought he would be better for it once he got his next job. Clearly, that paid off. Adam Peters has been someone who's been around some of the best in the business as far as the whole entire scouting process, the evaluation process, the selection and development process. That's clearly paying off. And then, you know, then of course there's always that relationship part of it, which you never know how the hell that's going to go. You think it's going to go good. You think it's going to be something where everyone's going to act like a professional and everyone's going to be, you know, good old out of themselves into the team type of mantra, but you don't know. And see, you know, and you know what? I'll tell you what. See, even now that success has started to rear its head, so to speak, now you find out even a little bit more about what you've built there, because it's always at the extremes where you find out, or where you have some surprises and you find out just how strong your operation is. When stuff is going bad, that's when, you know, people fracture and start pointing fingers. When stuff is going good and things start to build, that's when everybody starts wanting more and more credit and wants to say, you know, hey, look, I did this. I know what's happened there. It's clearly been a collective effort, and they need to make sure everyone understands that and that they just keep pushing the way they've been pushing, because as you all know, as I know, I think as anyone who has studied NFL football knows, there isn't much better than winning in Washington, D.C. There isn't much better. It's been a long time. So I think they will do a good job of safeguarding that at all costs. And I'm just hoping that, you know, they continue to build and they continue to knock everything out of the park from A to Z, not just with Jaden, but from A to Z, because, look, that town deserves it. That fan base deserves it. They suffered a long, long time. And now they've kind of got their prince of the city, like, in place, man. And it's, like I said, for me, from the outside looking in, that's pretty damn cool, man. It really is.
ESPN's Lewis Riddick with us here. He's on the call this weekend for Florida at Tennessee on ESPN Saturday night. Lewis is a guy who, you know, watched so much football and is an evaluator. Jaden Daniels has taken the league by storm, and it's been incredible here to watch. As an evaluator, though, putting your objective glasses on, what does he not do well yet? Like, what if there's a weakness or something that is relatively not as strong, what are you seeing there, maybe areas for improvement?
To be honest with you, look, I mean, I think those things internally, you'd have to be there internally on the grind with him day to day to really say, hey, you know what? I think you need to really work on this right now, because – from an external standpoint and from what I know from going down to Baton Rouge and talking to the people down there and watching all this tape. And look, there's always the guy's breaking records right now in terms of quarterback efficiency through the first quarter of the season, doing things that no one's ever done. It's hard to pick out some things and go, well, you're not doing that really good right now. I think his command at the line of scrimmage, from what I can tell, is second to none relative to where he's at in his career. I think his field vision, his decision-making, his accuracy, short, intermediate, deep. No, who throws a better deep ball than him in the NFL right now? I mean, really, who throws a better deep ball? Who throws a better ball under pressure than him right now? I think he's clearly learned how to protect himself as a runner to where it doesn't look like Ole Miss 2023, where I thought, man, they're going to break him in half before the end of this game if he's not careful. So I think there's always going to be room for, can he operate even faster? Can he recognize things even quicker? Can he be more consistent with feet, hip rotation, arm placement, ball placement, changing speeds, you know, as far as how much he puts on it, how much he throws with touch? Of course, there's always going to be all those things. And some of that isn't going to be, you know, recognizable to the naked eye. It's all going to be things that, unless you were with him every day, you won't know if he's doing it great or if he's not. But look, I have nothing bad to say about the guy. I was all in on him from the time I started studying him. And I think right now, They just need to keep internally, you know, working in silence, keeping him on the straight and narrow, continue to work his craft. You know, Cliff just needs to keep him on the path that he's on right now, man, because he's doing historic stuff already. He's making throws right now that there isn't a quarterback, not a single quarterback in the league who's throwing a prettier ball than him. And he's doing it under some he makes some tough, tough contested throws where he's getting the absolute crap knocked out of him in the pocket, and he doesn't flinch. I'm not going to even try to pick out a bunch of things that he isn't doing well, because the things that he is doing well right now, just ride him, man, and hope that the coaching staff continues him on the path that he's on right now, which I'm sure they will. They know it just like you guys know it, and every fan in Washington knows it.
Yeah. Pretty obvious. It doesn't take a scout, you know, when you turn on the games or turn on the tape to see what he's doing. You mentioned the coaching staff. Cliff Kingsbury's been incredible, and I didn't see this coming. And I was not a huge fan of the hire. In hindsight, looking back now, it seems like a marriage made in heaven. We have also seen, though, Lewis, and you know this better than we do, Kingsbury's offenses have gotten off to these amazing first half starts in Arizona and cooled off. Now, he didn't have Jaden Daniels at the controls in the past. But I guess I'm just curious for your thoughts on what he's been doing, because I mean, they're getting receivers wide open. They are running. A lot of this is Daniels related in the run game with read option and whatnot. Yep. But I mean, Kingsbury is completely reinventing his name in football right now.
Yep, he sure is. And look, I think just like we mentioned with Coach Quinn, you think Cliff hasn't kind of looked internally inside of himself and kind of deconstructed himself and put himself back together in terms of, like, what? How do I need to be better in terms of my preparation, my scheming, my strategizing, my execution on game day, my relationship with Jaden? You think he didn't learn a lot from what, you know, his relationship was like with Kyler, what worked, what didn't work? Look, it's not like he doesn't have enough in his bag, so to speak, as to how to attack NFL defenses, how to make sure that his quarterback has answers for whatever is being thrown at him, whether it be zone coverage, man coverage, five-man pressure, six-man pressures, simulated pressures. You think he has all that in his toolkit. And clearly, his teaching methodology is one that's resonating with Jaden. And it's something that they've struck a chord. Now, teams are going to find ways to push on those sore spots that make Jaden uncomfortable, that, you know, kind of like expose some of the things that maybe he's just not quite as good at as time goes on. That's what always happens as you gather more intel. Then it'll be on Cliff to kind of readjust again. But the thing about coaches, just like players, is that not every play is ideal for you. It's not always going to be, and it doesn't necessarily mean that, well, now the die has been cast. You know, you've already kind of like created your mold. You are who you are. You can't reinvent yourself. You can't get better. We've seen that that is a big, big mistake that fans, media personalities, scouts, GMs, owners make, is to think that people can't learn and adapt and improve. Same thing holds true for Cliff Kingsbury. There's a lot of people who thought, well, this hire ain't going to turn out to be worth a damn. Look at what he did in Arizona. Look at what he didn't do in Arizona. Look how it turned out between him and Kyler. Look how, you know, like, we've got to be real careful to do those kind of things, man, when we're assessing people in general, and then for sure when we're assessing people in such a team-centric sport as football. You can wind up making yourself look like and sound like a fool when you do that, because we know how things are on such a razor's edge in football, and how one place could be crap for you and the next place could be heaven. Just look at what's happening with Sam Darnold right now in Minnesota. When he left the Jets and he's talking about him seeing ghosts out there, you know, when Adam Gase was coaching him, everyone's thinking, this guy's a colossal bust. He'll never be worth a damn. He'll never get another shot. He may be comeback player of the year now. He may lead that team to the number one seed in the NFC for all we know. You know, so you got to be careful with that. And I think with Cliff, hey, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, just like people gave Dan Quinn the benefit of the doubt. He learned from his first go-around, and now he's got that place humming. So with Cliff, man, you know, more power to him. I'm hoping he's able to keep it going because he's in a great situation right now. It's cool. Like, he can go back to his roots of, let me coordinate and coach the quarterback, the thing that I probably know how to do best. And at the same time, what a great resource for him it is to have Dan Quinn there too and say, hey, you know what? You could best believe in some of their private time where they're kind of just one-on-one. You think he's not picking Dan's brain about what happened to him in Atlanta and then how things benefited him when he went to Dallas and now that he's a head coach again? Of course he is. So, yeah, I'm sure you're no different than many other people who were very skeptical of it. But, man, it sure is looking pretty good right now. And hats off to Cliff for doing so.
Lewis, got to grab you here about the news of the day. I was pretty stunned. I don't know how you felt about it, but Robert Saleh getting relieved of his duties there in New York, sort of, you know, ripping the Band-Aid. What was your reaction to it? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, like, the head coach bears the brunt of the blame when things aren't going well, just like he gets the credit most times when things are going right. And when you have a situation there where it just seemed like things were a little off, that things were getting a little sideways, you know, the communications between season, I'm taking a trip over to Europe, even though it's mandatory minicamp, I had this planned already, they knew I had a plan. Like it just seems like things were a little disjointed there to where if things started getting sideways, it was probably going to fall back on the head coach a hell of a lot more than it was on the franchise quarterback, first ballot Hall of Famer, four-time MVP guy, who's pretty much pulling the damn strings up there. So we've seen this before. We've seen this kind of thing before where a franchise quarterback has a hell of a lot more power and influence over ownership and what direction a franchise takes than even the head coach, especially a quote-unquote defensive head coach who was under fire coming into the season anyway about, you know, making sure you maximize the potential of a football team that everyone said all they needed was to get rid of Zach Wilson and get a quarterback, and we're rolling. We're the number one seed in the NFC. We have a shutdown defense, blah, 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 blah. They weren't going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. They could have gotten rid of Nathaniel Hackett, I guess, but they weren't going to get rid of him either as the OC because that's Aaron's guy. So none of that shocks me. That's how things go. That's how things go in the NFL. Someone's always going to fall on the sword. It's more times than not going to be the head coach, although you could have made a case for it being any number of other things that are going wrong up there. And I think as the season plays itself out, Jeff Ulbrich, the new head coach, isn't going to all of a sudden fix them. If they turn crap around up there, it ain't going to be because Jeff Ulbrich figured out how to get this running game going and how to get this offensive line being better than, you know, bottom quarter in the NFL and run block and pass block win rate. That ain't going to be because of anything Jeff Ulbrich said. Nothing at all. They're not going to protect the passer better because something Jeff Ulbrich comes up with. Nothing at all. The Jets have a lot of other stuff going on other than Robert Saleh not being the guy who can, quote-unquote, provide a spark, which is one of the most annoying damn things I hear people say. Well, he's going to give him a spark. No, he's not. He's not going to give him a spark. The team, the guys in the locker room will give him a spark by playing better, by protecting better, by Aaron making better passes. That's what they'll do. That's what will change it around. So, Nothing in the league shocks me about this. Look, I like Robert, know him, have talked to him in a professional manner many different times. This is just the NFL, dude. And it's not for long, as you all know, if you aren't winning.
Yeah, 2-3 last year through five games with 93 points scored when Zach Wilson was their quarterback. 2-3 this year through five games with 93 points scored with Aaron Rodgers.
I'm in the upside down.
Quarterback.
Wow.
And they've been the number one defensive team in the league since the day they hired Saleh in terms of EPA per play. Hey, Lewis, we could keep chatting, but we know you're busy. We'll listen to you on the call and watch you this weekend. Florida, number 8, Tennessee. You'll see a stud quarterback in that game, ESPN, on Saturday night. Thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Of course. But you got it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Lewis.
There's Lewis Riddick of ESPN on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Let's get our first feel on Commanders-Ravens as we're closing in on Sunday next on G&D. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. We're taking you up to 6:30 in and around the DMV on 106.7 The Fan. Of course, we're in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1 until 6 today. You can take the show with you wherever you go on the Odyssey app, and we are streaming live on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube page as well in high definition. I cleaned up the beard this weekend so that I could go over to the game. So I don't know if we're still in a good place with the neck beard situation.
Yeah, I did mine Sunday morning, so now I got that, you know, that like the gruff.
Are you kinda in the itchy phase, or are you out of that?
No, it's right now.
Yeah.
Height of it.
It's the worst.
Yeah. There's not much good about it, because you know every itch you do is another itch that's coming. I don't know if that's proven. I don't know if that's science. But I feel like if I scratch, I've now opened up the worm canister for more scratching.
I heard something that I wanted to pass along to Commanders fans, because I think this is going to be music to their ears. I know it was certainly very exciting when I heard this. So I don't want to say which player this was over the last few weeks, but there was a player that got banged up in game and left the game with an injury. And that player went back to the locker room at some point during the proceedings to be checked on. That player's dad got a text from general manager Adam Peters, from what I was told. The GM, Adam Peters, not an assistant, not some random person on the training staff, literally Adam Peters, fired off a text to this player's father to say, hey, I just want you to know your son's okay. Here's an update on his status. Here's what's going on in the training room right now. Here are some of the things we're doing and thinking are going to help him in the next couple of hours. Here's what it looks like kind of moving forward with this injury that he has suffered. And again, without getting into the specifics of the player or the injury, what I was told was that this is a guy who's been in some other places and that they were blown away by this. Almost like a high school football player's dad in the stands,
right,
hearing from someone on the staff like, little Jimmy's okay, right? But it spoke to me too, what I have heard constantly since Peters showed up, and certainly in this Peters-Quinn regime, which is that the way these guys treat players, their families, which is so important, one of the secret sauce, under-talked about things in professional sports, Danny, is how do you treat my family, my wife, my kids, my parents, my VIPs, right? But think about that. For the GM of the team in the middle of a game, to not only get the information, which is not abnormal, but then text a family member and say, hey, your boy's all right. You know, here's what's going on. The player was basically just giddy with the treatment. The dad was floored. The family was kind of taken aback. And it just tells me they get it in so many ways. You think about those NFLPA.
Hard not to think of those surveys, yeah.
Rankings and surveys that get done. And I guess my point here, long-windedly, is this is going to be a place that people want to come. Not just because maybe you've got the answer at quarterback in Daniels, who's the cool guy that everybody wants to talk about in the media and players are all going to want to play with. But if the word gets out that they treat their players really, really well, which has been one of the biggest developments and stories behind the scenes for me since this regime took over, I think you're going to see them soar up a lot of these NFLPA type conversations. This was Austin Eckler on our show, by the way. He, too, had an injury. He had a concussion in the Cincinnati game. And I even asked him at that time, semi-relatedly, your family was there. What's that like? Listen to what he said, unprompted, about a similar situation.
Yeah, so this is one thing I really appreciate about Washington out here. Like, they do such a good job with just family and everything like that. So they were the ones contacting Dylan, our player director out here, is contacting my family, my mom, my wife, letting them know, hey, he's alert. Hey, this is what's going on. Just keeping him up to date. And so really, really just, you know, great, great family oriented, you know, organization over here. And so they definitely did their job there in keeping my family up to date.
For so long, they treated people poorly outside of the building and inside the building. They majored in it. Those days are over.
Now, some people will roll their eyes and go, well, it doesn't make a, you know, third and seven stop, or it doesn't complete a pass. And of course not. But it is an overhaul. It is a departure from the way that it used to be, right? That's the adage that I've kind of gone to, especially when it comes to a league as competitive as this one, is either everything matters or it doesn't. In other words, this is not sexy. This is not advertising. This is not a billboard to get you to buy a sponsorship or sell more club level tickets or, you know, the partnership with StubHub to make sure that Philly fans have a place to sit. This is an internal thing. We're dealing with people really, really well, building bridges instead of burning them. It matters. It just does. You want to be a first-class organization, then you have to behave like one all the time, even when you're not going to get credit for it. There are probably another 100 of those instances where somebody did something that we will never hear about, that you'll never see, that nobody will ever know, and there was a choice, a small one. I could inconvenience a player slightly, or I could do this unsung, boring, mundane, probably pain in the butt thing, and you start choosing the second one more and more and more and more, and all of a sudden, you're a good place.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to dig out from what was.
I just think that I'll go back to how you treat people matters, but the type of people that run your building matter. And I don't just mean in football, although certainly in football too. At a Subway or at a Chick-fil-A or at a radio station, it doesn't really matter. If you treat the people under you well, they'll treat the people under them well, right? What do they say about character? Character is how you treat someone who can do nothing for you, right? Isn't that what they say?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just think they're in a different place altogether in terms of the quality of human being, or maybe just the understanding from the very top down. The difference between Dan Snyder and Mitch Rales is night and day. And I don't know Harris or Rales all that well. I have met both in passing. I've spent a couple of more minutes around Mitch Rales. He's been in the press box a time or two, kind of walking through, shaking hands. But they're just, the whole tone of the entire business changes when the person at the top is somebody with decency and humility. And I think you see this, right? Adam Peters, going back to him, I told this story quickly in training camp, but while we're discussing just, you know, the way they're running things, there was a listener to the show that I bumped into in the parking lot as I was getting in my car leaving training camp. And they had a bunch of stuff, this helmet and some stuff signed. And they told me this story where their son had this football. He'd gotten a few signatures at training camp, and he put the ball down, and somebody grabbed it, I guess. And so the son, a little kid, you know, was crying and sad, sure, and like beside himself. And one of the security people at the training camp site saw this and asked what was going on, filled him in. He says, hang on. He comes back. He brings the kid over to meet Adam Peters, who's outside the building. And he goes and gets Terry McLaurin, and they sign some things and just spend a couple minutes with the kid. I'm not saying that that never happened with previous coaches or executives or whatever, but I just think they care about the little things, and enough of those little things added up, eventually the big things take care of themselves.
Well, you and I both love Great American Restaurants, right? For a million reasons.
Mainly their Aussie rolls and hospitality.
The hospitality part's what I wanted to go with.
But obviously, also the Aussie rolls.
Yeah, obviously Aussie rolls are going to get people in the door, really good food. It's consistent and it works every time.
How would you describe Aussie rolls if you only had a sentence? Like someone says, I've never had an Aussie roll. What's an Aussie roll, Danny?
Bread service and a donut rented a seedy motel. Aussie rolls are their children.
Okay.
The reason I bring it up is, you've been everywhere, and this is, there's nothing wrong with other restaurants, okay? I love plenty of places. But if you go to a normal restaurant, to a lot of places, like you see your server when you see your server, can I have another lemonade, another iced tea, or whatever? When you're at a Great American Restaurant, anytime anybody walks by, whether they've got your table or not, my iced tea gets filled. My, can I take this for you? Gets done. Even if it's not your specific server. And the point is, maybe there's some their business philosophy to it to turn tables over quickly, or who knows why. I know this, it's just nice. It's nice to not have to be like, oh, excuse me, sorry, when you have a second, could I get another iced tea from like across the room or whatever? It just gets done. And it's nothing is beneath anybody. I've seen managers get down on all fours and pick up the napkin that's, you know, that fell off the table and is kind of stuffed in the way back corner, or grab the broom and sweep up. Nothing is beneath anybody.
It's the culture.
And that's the point, is there's a cultural element to it.
Yep.
The GM going, hey, as a human being, I can imagine dad in the stands or dad watching on television with no update because they don't do sideline reports anymore. It's basically, I talked to this guy earlier and he said that they're going to try to win. Back to you guys. Instead of, this is what the injury update is. So nobody gives any information anymore. So I'm going to give it to the guy. I love that.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. There is a quarterback change taking place in the NFL. Could be an exciting day for an AFC team as they debut their young quarterback. We'll get into that next on The Fan, plus our double play, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports. At the top of the hour at 4 o'clock, we've got Caps tickets, and 20 minutes from now at 4, John Carlson joins the show. Grant and Danny on The Fan, top of the hour, 15 minutes out. John Carlson of the Capitals, a longtime pal of this here radio program. Going to be good to reunite with number 74 again.
Been a minute before we could say, shoot yeah, Carly.
We do have Caps tickets today, by the way. We're giving those out right at the top of the hour in 15 minutes. They're playing the Dallas Stars on the 17th of the month. That is next Thursday night. We got your tickets right here on The Fan, so you better be listening. Before we get to our double play, the New England Patriots are turning things over to Drake May.
Congrats, buddy.
He will make his long-anticipated National Football League debut. I should say his first start, because he did come in mm-hmm. garbage time when they were getting blown out by the Jets. I think he threw 8 passes and a nothing burger of a second half. But the 22-year-old quarterback will make his first ever start for the Patriots, excited to see what he looks like. That is a terrible team, Danny. That is a bad offense. That is a terrible offensive line. They're playing the Houston Texans. So go get him, Drake.
Good luck, buddy.
Nothing to see here. I kind of thought they would, you know, I would have played him earlier, but I thought at this point they'd maybe wait a week. But they're tired of waiting, I suppose. And even though Houston gets after the quarterback and they do some really good things defensively, they are throwing him to the Wolves this weekend and seeing how if he sinks or swims.
Yeah, there's no great landing spot when you're terrible. You know what I mean?
Like, that's a great point.
Other terrible teams are also going to give you fits. But
the Texans are the fourth-ranked defense in the NFL, and they're number 3 against the pass.
But the Texans are good. They're the best team, certainly on the Patriots schedule, I would say. The rest of the way, unless you are a believer in the Bills.
They're sixth at getting sacks, and the Patriots are one of the worst teams in the league at avoiding sacks.
Bet you that ranking improves after this weekend. But then it's Jacksonville, Jets, Titans, Bears. So yeah, there's no good landing spots. So, you know, now's kind of the time. I mean, the thing I always say when it comes to, you know, sports and winning, losing, et cetera, regardless of what phase you're in, there's got to be a point to whatever you're doing. There's got to be an end game to it. And playing Brissett for a long time, for a little bit, I got it, you know, as the kid gets ready. But playing him for 8, 9, 10, 11 weeks is a worthless, empty calories, make us feel a little bit better about ourselves type exercise. Now there's a point to it, right? And you waited, what was it now? Week 6. You waited 6, 7, and really, if you include preseason stuff, you waited a few months to kind of pull this lever to sort of reinvigorate, get some excitement going, get some juice going, and take kind of the attention off of how bad everything is. It's bad, but we got a reason to be excited, and it's Drake May.
If you're a Patriots fan to that point, why am I watching anymore? This is not worth my time. The Jacoby Brissett-led 10-point performances of offense every week are not worth me spending money to go to the stadium and not worth me not doing activities on a Sunday to get out of being in trouble with my wife, right? Give me a reason. And now you've got a reason, albeit, you know, going to be a tough challenge this coming week. But good to see that. So now we got the 4 rookie quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Bo Nix is playing a lot better. A couple straight wins for the Broncos, or 2 of their last 3, I guess. And Nix looked very, very good this past weekend. Caleb Williams by far had his best game.
Yep.
And it seems like Jaden Daniels has done okay.
He's been fine.
From what I can gather.
He's been fine.
Here in the nation's capital. Mm-hmm. It is time for your double play, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
A little bit of good news here, GP. Authorities believe that the Georgetown cuddler was finally caught and arrested. Now, let me just editorialize for a moment. That name belies how horrible a person this dude is.
I was going to say, that sounds like precious and adorable.
Yeah, the Georgetown cuddler, what he was doing, again, I'm not going to say the person's name. It's all alleged. I don't know what the rules are. I'm just saying this, but the authorities believe that they got him. The guy...
Is it weird that I have no idea about this?
It is a little bit weird, but okay. I'm happy to tell you all about it. Because again, this is kind of jarring. In Georgetown, Burleith, as far away maybe as College Park, Glover Park, where I used to live, this person, whoever was doing this, and it was like long over years and years and years, this person was doing this a lot. All we know are what was reported. Who knows what wasn't reported? This creep, this scumbag, was preying on young women. He would basically follow them, observe for a long time, peeping Tom type stuff, break into homes, and number of times over and over and over again, women would wake up with this dude in their bed, and they'd make noise, scream, fight him off, whatever, and he'd run away. It happened so many times over the years.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't know how I haven't heard of this.
Yeah. So
how long has this been going on?
Since 2008, give or take.
Oh, my God.
So over years and years and years.
So first, Netflix documentary next week, please. Thank you. That's number one. Number two, would he escalate? Like, was there assault or was it just he wanted to touch them and lay in their bed? Which is still, by the way, the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone.
It's still beyond horrible.
But
again,
I am curious. Is that like his Super Bowl was the snuggling?
Authorities believe that there are far more. I mean, again, it's all serious, right? So it's all way above the bar of seriousness, okay?
You could stop at, he broke into my house and I woke up with a stranger laying next to me. That's good to put him away forever.
So there's, you know what goes up from there, and it's all very bad, but this person is now accused of a few, at least, different incidents where it's as bad as it can be.
I have watched enough of those true crime docs to know that, and I don't pretend to be like an expert on this, but generally what happens is, these creeps get to a point where that's not enough anymore. So like I'm getting chills like thinking about how weird this guy is, by the way. But it starts where you're just looking through the window at someone. Then you go, I need to sit in the house. Then you go, I need to lay in the bed. Then you go, I need to cuddle them until they wake up and scream. And then there's another thing after that. We don't need to get any further along.
Yes.
But my point is, generally, you just keep pushing the ball down the field little by little. Because you're a weirdo.
Because this was happening, and it wouldn't be like every week, right? It was just infrequent enough where the report gets filed, everybody looks, nobody can find anyone, we can't figure it out. There's no necessary connection between an individual victim. There's no like pattern really. It was hard to figure out and find this person. It took years and years and years until finally enough DNA, the right investigation, the right techniques, the right things finally happened, where a search warrant was executed. They forced this person to provide a sample of DNA. It matches, so they believe they got the guy.
So they did not catch him in the act.
No.
They basically went, knocked on his door, and were like, hey, buddy, here we go. We're headed on down.
Come on downtown with us real quick. But fantastic news. And again,
You're saying 2008.
2008.
And how long? I guess I'm sure it's different.
And it might have been longer, by the way, but that was the first reported super serious crime, I believe, was 08.
What was the MO in terms of distance between, time between events?
There wasn't.
Would he go, like, years?
For reports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you don't know, someone else could say, I kind of felt like someone was in my house, or
totally.
That might have been a dream or whatever.
100%. And a lot of times, again, these young women would come home intoxicated, and again, doesn't mean anything other than their victims, but just how it happened. So sometimes it wasn't reported. I mean, who knows how long it's been going on? Sometimes it was like multiple on a weekend. Sometimes, you'd see these sporadic reports, and there was never a great rhyme or reason to it. But it took forever, and hopefully, knock on wood, it all goes according to plan, that this son of a bitch is done with terrorizing people in a pretty quiet, really nice part of DC.
That's amazing. I do want a documentary done on Netflix. Mm-hmm. If we could get that done sometime by the end of the day, please. I don't know how long those take, but I'll give you about 6 hours to have it on my desk. Is that enough time?
There's got to be some found footage in there, of the investigation and the like. Yeah.
So this is something when you were like college age or a little older that you were cognizant.
So it was definitely post college, obviously, because the first hearings about it were sort of late aughts, I guess you'd call that. Like, I can't remember the exact year where this whatever phenomenon kind of started. But again, the nickname, it's a terrible nickname because it sounds like, oh, it's like mildly innocent. Like, what a weird little inconvenience. It's horrifying what this bastard was doing. So
Grant and Dave,
glad he got caught.
With you on the Fan. More trivially, big NFL news today. Robert Saleh fired by the Jets in the AFC East. Aaron Rodgers is taking over as player coach. I'm kidding. Jeff Ulbricht is going to be the interim head coach, their defensive coordinator, after Rodgers fired Saleh. I'm kidding. The Jets fired Saleh. And Drake May, speaking of that division, will make his first ever start, it sounds like, for the Patriots this weekend. They take on the Houston Texans. Top 6 or top 5 ranked defense. Should be a tough test for the kid out of North Carolina. Also, we got tickets to the Capitals. We'll give those away right at the top of the hour at 4. John Carlson's joining us on our Beltway Blitz right at 4. And we've got our buddy Austin Eckler on the show today at 5 right here on The Fan.